Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening and welcome to the show. It's after having 3 weeks off, it's really good to be back and alive and kicking. You know, very much over the last 3 weeks, it's been a challenging time for me, but it's been challenging and I have learnt a lot and I have grown a lot and I have had all sorts of different insights, which I hope to, you know, Matthew and I will discuss with you this evening. But it's I wanted to just spend one minute saying thank you so much to Adam Weller, who stepped in and was co-host for us for 3 weeks. So just I just wanted to acknowledge him and thank him for doing that, and give Matthew a chance to say hello before I launch off into talking. So just handing over to Matthew for a minute.
Yeah, so good evening or good afternoon. Hope everybody's well. I'm really looking forward to the show, because although I've spoken to Penny, it's I know very much before when we've spoken about pathologies, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that baffles your mind this evening. So I'm really looking forward to hearing Penny's take on how what a normal person would consider a huge deal actually could be something you don't expect it to be. So I'm really looking forward to sort of hearing about it as well. So
I think you know, it is, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to diss anybody's story of pathology that they've been through. It's just that sometimes we're told an awful lot and we're given an awful lot of information that can actually be quite misleading. And okay, so I'm in a particular situation here where I was a cardiothoracic intensive care sister, so this is my area of expertise. And when I was first told that I would need to have an aortic valve replacement, you know, there was a feeling of dread, absolute dread, of going, oh my god, it's something I know about, this is not something I'm going to go in with without having my eyes wide open. And it was a little bit of drama before I actually went for surgery, was waiting for to have an angiogram, which is basically sticking in some dye and having a look at the heart chambers. And obviously I needed to have that done before having the operation. And this was all shrouded in a little bit of drama of trying to get things done and eventually having to change cardiologists and go to a different centre in Plymouth, which was not near the hospital I was going to be having the operation at. But it got sorted and I was admitted into hospital. But it was the pre-terrors, I should say, or the mind, or your mindset of, oh my god, I know exactly what's going to happen. This is could be extremely painful. It could be fatal. It, you know, any kind of general anaesthetic has those risks. And therefore, keeping your mind so you're not in terror all of the time. And I reached out to use homeopathy for that, and was taking aconite in very large doses, so that I would actually have some decent rest before going for the operation. Luckily, I was first on the list, so I was obviously, being nil by mouth was not going to, you know, be too worrying to me, and they were going to give me an oral pre-med early in the morning, so that is going to take you off onto a little bit of la-la land, for want of another way of putting it. But I took major amounts of arnica before going into the operation, and arnica, an awful lot of people have heard from. It is the thing to give to somebody homeopathically when they're going to have trauma. And this was to preempt the trauma that my physical body was going to go through when, of course, they crack open your chest and they literally saw through your sternum to open up the chest so that they can get to your heart. Which, you know, just about, you know, makes you go cold, throw out a cold sweat just thinking about it. Yeah. And so I had taken, I made sure that I had taken that when I had the pre-med given to me by the hospital staff, and then obviously went down for the operation. And the operation is anything from 2.5 to 3 hours because they put you on bypass. And one of the reasons that I'd taken the arnica was because of the cellular trauma when you've got someone cutting through a sternum and then they are physically using their hands and obviously surgical equipment to put you on bypass, so all of your blood is taken out of your body, your body cools down so that you're really hypothermic, and so you get very, 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 very cold. And then obviously during the operation they stop the heart so they can repair the valve. And the, you know, obviously taking out a valve from the heart is trauma. Putting in a new one and stitching it in place and making sure, obviously, that the seal is around the valve is absolutely 100% pucker, for another way of putting it, absolutely patent. And then obviously the surgeons then making sure that the heart restarts and they start building you up and bringing you back from obviously you go into the intensive care unit where you're ventilated and on a ventilator you're being monitored constantly. And everything is, you know, brought back and you're slowly brought out of the general anaesthetic so that they take out the ET tube and you start breathing on your own, etc. So all of that, as you can imagine, it is preparing yourself and realizing that that is what's going to be happening. And how do you prepare for that? You know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, in order to get yourself ready for it, but also ready so for your loved ones and your friends and your family. You know, very much it was important for me to make sure I had a living will, so that if something did happen that was catastrophic, I wasn't going to be left as a cabbage. So putting in things like a power of attorneys, living will, power of attorney, making sure that I left letters for my husband and for my son, who's just coming up for nearly 3 years old, and I'd done him a video just in case. all of these things may seem like overkill. But the most important thing for me was that if something did happen, it would be the least amount of trauma for my family. So we had made the decision to move down into to the West Country, and I live in Bude now in Cornwall, which is just an hour away from my husband's family, to make sure that if something did happen and he was left there holding the bag with a three-year-old son, that he would get the support that he needed. And, you know, it's looking at it and doing it in a sensible fashion. And I know you guys have heard me say a plethora of times that, you know, the six P's is how I work. You know, planning and preparation prevent piss poor performance. And it's so true for me. You know, it's how I live my life. Making sure that I have the energetic side of life sorted out, as well as the emotional intelligence, you know, setting up, you know, I'm lucky I have a whole bunch of Reiki practitioners and distance healers who I know, who were sending me Reiki and making sure that during the time that I was in surgery, that this was what was happening. And also my spiritual path, the Self-Realization Fellowship, I was on their prayer list and making sure that I had constant help and support. The last thing I thought about as I was being given the general anaesthetic was my God and my guru. And therefore I set up the intention of chanting right the way through the operation of God and Guru and Chai Guru, right the way through me being operated on. And I had a real sense, although it wasn't a conscious sense, I had a real sense that I was taken out of my body and I was held in the arms of the divine as this surgery was happening. And I have to acknowledge the surgeons for the brilliant job that they did. But it's, you know, it's somewhat like butchery. You know, it's literally when you look at it and you just realise the what they actually have to do to get to the space in order to do the work that they needed to do. And I have great respect for them and great respect for the surgeon, Prof. Ori, for doing what he did. When I came out of and I returned to my physical body after waking up from obviously the anaesthetic and also the my brain has just gone, but waking up from obviously all the drugs that I was getting and the relaxants that I was getting, you know, you suddenly realise the impact that the physical body has taken. And this is when you go back again to the energetics of a situation and realising that you need to start that healing process as fast as you possibly can, and how to minimize the amount of cellular trauma, memories and suppressions that you have had during that 2 hour, 2.5 hour, 3 hour traumatic experience of surgery. And it's looking at it and realizing that anything you can start doing straight away. My husband Luke came in to see me whilst I was in the intensive care and gave me another dose of very, very high arnica, high vibrational arnica. And he just put it on my chin so it would be absorbed into my skin, and so that I would have a second dose. And it was later on that day I managed to give myself a third dose of arnica, which very, very much helped, I think, at the very, very beginning of just dealing with that impact of the trauma. So I just wanted to let Matthew have, because obviously he was in some ways was quite involved in this, because he was very much part of the healing tree, should I say, or the Reiki team of people sending me energy. So just wanted to hand over to him so he could put in his thoughts.
Yeah, what really came up for me on the comment you made that I think really, really makes the point was it's sort of covering all bases. And I think when people aren't aware of actually there's lots of different options out there where you can sort of help the process, very much you're not saying it's not going to be sort of difficult at times, but it's preparing to make things as easy as possible. And I know very much Penny's very real when we were talking about it, and it's sort of owning how you feel, because there's going to be parts of you that obviously are scared, and it's just sort of trying to stay present rather than buy into the fear. And I think it could benefit so many people if they were sort of aware that there are different things you can do as well as just sort of mentally preparing, where you're using homeopathy. If I was in that position, I think anything that made that process easier, why wouldn't you do it, sort of thing. And I think a lot of that comes from just sort of like almost like a lack of knowledge, or just maybe someone hasn't explained it in the right way. I think sometimes there's sort of stigma around something that isn't a chemical drug and given by the doctor, and there are other things that you can do to really assist that do make a big difference. And yeah,
I really do think that the homeopathy, and especially the aconite, is a specific homeopathic drug that, or should I say, it's not a drug, it's a remedy, but it's a specific homeopathic remedy, which is basically given to somebody who thinks they're going to die now. Literally, the terror and the horror.
Right.
It's that state of, oh my God, I'm just about to, this is really gut-wrenching fear. And I literally had taken it, taken the aconite for 3 nights before the surgery, because I knew what was coming up.
Yeah.
So we're just about to have a break, and we'll catch you after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
So, hi, we're back again. Hi. So, we're basically beginning to talk about how to, you know, start the healing process and minimize the cellular trauma and, you know, the memories and the suppressions. Because even though, you know, we're not consciously aware whilst we're under a general anesthetic of some of the things that are going on around us, we are aware of them, because hearing is the last sense to go. So, you know, we actually do, you know, and I've done a couple of processes since in recovery, just to look at some of the suppressions and some of the memories of what people were talking about around me, how to actually minimize that, not worry about things that were said and you only heard little bits of it, and then therefore may have misinterpreted what was being said at the time. And it's looking at how to process and clear all of those thought forms and judgments and fears from the professionals that were working around you. At such an intimate level, I mean, these guys have got their hands inside your body, inside your chest, and energetically, whatever they're thinking about, whether they had a hard time or an argument with their spouse, or they're having financial worries or this or that or whatever, is deeply embedded inside you. The amount of time that their hands are inside your energetic body. And you have to remember that as a, you know, as an aware person, this all needs to be cleared from your energy as well. So at the very, very beginning, obviously I had an array of homeopathy with me, because I am a homeopath, so I was treating myself homeopathically. I was making sure I was out of bed within the first couple of hours. At least I was standing by the edge of the bed, or I, you know, luckily at the very beginning, I still had a urinary catheter in, but that was removed quite early, which was one of the things that I asked for, because I would prefer to get up and actually start using my body systems again, i.e. using my bladder, using my legs, getting out of the bed. Yes, it wasn't a very good stagger to the ensuite bathroom at the beginning, but I managed it with help. And the amazing thing that they've changed since I was in the cardiothoracic field was they give you what it actually looks like a bulletproof vest, but it only covers the top part of your chest, and it splints you in, because obviously your sternum has been opened, and you know the last thing you want to do is, you know, obviously the physiotherapists come round and try and get you to cough, and you know, literally the first time you cough, you think you're going to split your chest open. The pain is not great, but then painkillers help with that. But it's making sure that you are then incredibly proactive in your own recovery. And I suppose I had, you know, I had a little bit of a hand of knowing exactly what was coming. Some of it, as I said, was challenging and not particularly nice, but some of it was just a case of, you know, take a breath and suck it up and get on with it. Because the only way that you're going to start to feel better is to take back, to empower yourself and bring the power back so that you can be feel like you're in a little bit of control. Because the worst thing I think about being in a hospital is this thing that you are disempowered, because the power goes to the nursing staff, the medics, the, you know, auxiliary staff. And I actually was very, very proactive in taking back the control and taking back, responsibility for my own physical, mental, emotional and spiritual well-being. So I had my little altar in my room, which I think they probably all smiled at and thought, oh, we've got a right woofy one here. But it was not, it wasn't that. It was a case of me being able to have eye-to-eye contact with my gurus whilst I was going through pain and hand the pain back to them, because I didn't need to feel it. I didn't need to be crushed by it. And it's really important, I think, that that's what you actually do. And, you know, obviously, as I was saying, doing different clearing processes where I would clear, you know, pain. I have been lying on my back or just sitting slightly upright. And it's amazing how much pressure goes onto the pressure sore of, you know, pressure area of your sacrum. And actually just remembering to turn, remembering, even though it may cause you a little bit of discomfort and pain, but remembering to turn and stretch and do those leg exercises, wiggle those toes, wiggle those arms, start actually moving your shoulders when you can. And all of those things are really important, because as you do that, what you do is you help to release the physical trauma and the stress. And some of the stress is just because you've been holding your body in a certain position. So again, I just wanted to give it over to Matthew so that he has a chance to say anything, give me a chance to have a drink.
Yeah, I must admit I was fascinated by the corset thing that you'd sort of described, because I must admit it's one thing I thought with the surgery. I have to be honest beforehand, when I spoke to Penny and she said, oh well, I was up and walking sort of a few hours later, it's one of those things with Penny, nothing surprises me, but at the same time I was quite surprised. And when you explained that corset, I mean, that must be, even just on its own as a medical upgrade, must assist the healing process so much. Because whereas before, where you wouldn't have that support, I'm assuming you literally you're bedridden, because you can't risk opening the wound or stretching anything. So I was blown away by that. I thought it was great.
You used to hold a pillow or a towel in front of you on your chest and obviously hold it tighter and tighter if you get a cough. Whereas this thing, I mean, they've only been used, I think, for the last, you know, and someone may come back at me with this, but I've been out of cardiothoracic nursing for about 20 years, so I would say that they probably brought them in soon after that. And they are the most amazing piece of kit. Whoever came up with this one, as far as I'm concerned, obviously now having gone through cardiac surgery, they need a Nobel Prize for this one, I tell you. It literally, because of course that's the one thing, if you crack a rib or anything else, they say, well, you just got to put up with it because you can't splint the chest. But this is the best one that I think I've ever seen, and it's just astonishing to know that. Don't get me wrong, I still hold my chest if I'm going to cough, but it keeps you, your chest, the upper part of your chest, upright, so you're not twisting.
Yeah.
And you're actually, your actual position of standing is you're standing tall, not round shouldered. So you've got a huge amount of support here, which is astonishing stuff. And it, you know, very much, you know, for me, that first level of recovery, which is happens whilst you're in the hospital, because you're there for 7 days. Post-surgery is when, obviously, when the physio comes round and actually gets you to walk, whereas, you know, with me, Luke and Hector were coming into the hospital to visit me, so I'd use Hector, who's a bouncy 2.5, nearly 3-year-old, to do the walks with me, so we would do circuits round the ward, so that he could have a little bit of a run around, but also me walk, which was, you know, and every door, you know, especially hospital doors, you know, they've got the press buttons and they're opening the doors and he's playing around with that. So also it made me, you know, made me do more, I did probably more walking in those first few days than most people would do, because just entertaining him a little bit. But it's very much a case again of looking at and doing it consciously, and consciously taking each step and making sure that your whole body is in alignment. You know, you're putting your feet down properly, you know, your hips are following, you know, your knees, and everything is actually moving and in as much grace as you can muster. Don't get me wrong, sometimes when you're walking down the corridor and you think, gee, God almighty, you know, for me, I just thought, I feel like I've been run over by a bus. And you know, some of the bruising, because of course you're taking blood thinners at the beginning, so you know, you feel like you've been through the mill with Mike Tyson or something like that, and you have the bruises to prove it, because you know, obviously they've had you know, they've had to put IVs in the neck and the wrists and the, you know, all over the place, and you basically feel like a pincushion. But as these things start to be removed, obviously you regain some of the ability to move different parts of self that have been less mobile than they have before. But I think one of the biggest things for me was I hadn't realised, even though obviously nursing wise, but I hadn't realised how dry my throat and my tongue would be, because obviously I'd been ventilated and I'd had an ET tube now, and my whole tongue furred up. And literally, it was like the whole lining of my mouth came away like one great big, you know, like shedding a skin, and was red raw for a couple of days, which I think was, for me, in fact, was probably the most traumatic thing of the whole thing. But I used an awful lot of different ways of trying to keep my mouth moist, and once that started to heal within itself, I then turned, you know, a literal corner, which was great. But then it's what is quite amazing is when you start to reintegrate, because you've been shocked out of your body and it's taken time to reintegrate with your physical body, it's finding things really in your face, you know, the overwhelm of noise, and people, you know, just walking down, if people were moving stuff outside in the corridor near my room, and you just, the intensity of the sound and the intensity of the noise, the intensity of the smells, talk about all of your clairs being wide open, it just like whoa, it just and even to the stage of how people would talk and how they would talk to you, just the volume with which they would talk to you sometimes was just too in your face. And I'm realizing that you needed to do, I did some work on, it's like turning down the sensitivity of the clairs, turning down the noise, turning down the smells, turning down the just the volume of everything. And I, you know, people turn around and say, oh, well, you know, you can always sit there and watch telly. The last thing you wanted to do was watch telly. The last thing you wanted was listen to music, because it was just too bright, too everything. And it's really
sensory
interesting.
Sensory overload, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolute overload, as you're saying, Matthew. It's so true. And it's just realising and having that sensitivity of what people are going through when they're going through it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So we're back again, and we're talking about trauma and recovering from trauma. And it's, again, I think, you know, during the break, I was just sort of thinking, if, what are the most important aspects of this? What are the most important things that I would like you to realise and maybe take away from this? Is that, you know, if you're going to go through an expected trauma, like this was an expected trauma, and you have time to prepare, please prepare for it, but look at it holistically. Look at it from a holistic point of view. And no, not just yourself, obviously. We think we have a tendency to think it just about ourselves. Think about yourself, think about your family, your friends, what you need to. Obviously, I needed to make sure that Acorn to Oak was going to have the radio shows done, which was really easy because Matthew was there and Adam was there. But also getting things like, you know, auto response sorted out, making sure everything's taken care of, making sure that obviously if you're self-employed and you're not having a wage coming through, that, you know, you've put something aside so that you're not worried. And you don't have to keep on thinking, oh my God, is the insurance going to cover this? Or am I going to be stuffed with a huge bill at the end of it? You know, it's making sure that you are spiritually aware of what you're going to be going through and how you want to handle this, what you need to have in place. And then looking at your recovery and knowing that your recovery is going to take you longer than you think it's going to be. You know, I'm always miss impatience, and I will look at things, and I do have an amazing recovery rate because I am so proactive about it. But you just look at it and just go, you know, if you need to have time off, and you need to rest, that's what you need to do. And don't take what orthodoxy tells you as gospel. Know that you can do other things. I mean, one of the things that was said to me was, oh, you can't have massage and you can't have this and you can't have that within the first 3 months post-surgery. Well, I went for a reflexology treatment within the first week of me coming home. So that was 10 days post-op. Because reflexology treats your whole body, but it's just having a foot massage. Well, that's what the orthodoxy will say to you. Whereas in fact, obviously, it was the energetic component part as well. Obviously, people sending me distance healing, people, you know, doing reflexology on my own hands, making sure I have homeopathy, you know, looking at those fears, looking at working through what was said or what judgments or what thought forms were being thought about whilst I was having surgery. All of those things are so important to look at. And it's just also realizing that there are people out there who have expertise in this area who you could hook into and just ask questions, you know, because there's not an awful lot written about you know, post-surgery, and you do feel sometimes like you're out there on your own, you know, but most important is common sense, you know, real common sense. Just, you know, don't overdose yourself with painkillers, but take what you need, and don't be frightened of leaning on them if you need to lean on them. So again, just saying to Matthew, if there's anything that he would like to add on this.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point. It very much makes it sort of realistic. I mean, I'm into my energy medicine. I'm into natural medicines. I use chemical medicines if necessary, and very much it's like you say, it's not saying that you're not going to use something. It using something if that's what you need at the time. If you do need pain relief, then that's what it's there for. Use it. It can be very effective for that, because I mean, it's only really if I had a toothache, I would take a painkiller or a chemical painkiller. For everything else, I don't need it. But if I did, then I would use it. And I think it, very much like you were saying earlier, it's about accept everything and use everything at your disposable, but sensibly. So don't sort of overdose on everything, because when you do need it, you'll probably have so much in your system that the little bit you add to it won't cut it. So it's about being realistic and present in the moment and seeing what your needs are and what the wants are, because the want would be to be overtaking painkillers, and obviously if you're overtaking them, you're going to get signs of being drowsy, so it could make your experience not so pleasant. So I think it's very much about being realistic and suiting your needs and having that holistic approach. I think there's a lot of sort of stigma around using alternative medicines, but boy, if it helps, why not use it? And I've used homeopathy in some of my sort of physical healing processes, especially one with infection I had years ago in a finger, and homeopathy was sort of what cleared that. And I think it's almost like very like any healing process, whether it be physical or emotional, it's remembering that it is a process, and there's going to be good times, there's going to be low times, and it's almost like that. If you know what to expect, then it's not so bad. If you went on a roller coaster with a blindfold on, it'd be a lot scarier. Yeah. Whereas if you'd seen the track and you knew what was coming up, you know it's going to be a rough ride, but you can prepare for it, and a little bit of knowledge can go a long way to settling the mind sometimes. And the mind can be where the fear comes up, so you want to quieten that mind. And yeah, it's knowing that actually, yeah, there's going to be some rough times ahead, but you'll be all right. You'll get through it. And I think if a lot of people knew that and had that point of view, certainly within like an emotional healing process, it's suddenly you can be expecting something. You know something's going to hit you at some point, but you don't know when. And when it does, it can feel consuming. If you have the knowledge around, oh, okay, look, this is just one of those moments. I'm feeling real scared right here, right now, or whatever that core emotion is, and just letting it flow. And as we would say, keep your breath moving and acknowledge that emotion and just let it be. Because when you stay present with it, it's kind of like it doesn't feel so scary. It hits you and you feel it, and it's kind of like, right, okay, this is just a few minutes. I can use the tools I have to work through this, and you work through it and you come out the other side, and it's kind of like, oh, well, I've done that once now, and I know the process, so I can do it again. And it's, yeah, a little bit of knowledge and understanding goes a long way.
Mm. Yeah, the other one thing I just wanted to mention to people is that it is quite amazing when you've had such a physical insult as this, it's how cold you can feel. And it's just remember, it's not actually necessarily a physical coldness. It's a deep, deep, deep rooted coldness. And it is just basically, you know, again, at these moments, the best thing to do, yes, is to wrap up with a blanket if you can. But you won't get you actually won't get warm because it is a totally different coldness. And that is when you need to be able to hold on to your faith and just know, you know, it is just what it is, you know, rub, you know, this is the time to rub your own hands, to massage your own hands, maybe massage your own feet, you know, and give yourself self empowerment and give yourself self-love, because it's so important just to, you know, to say to yourself, good job, well done. You've gotten through this day, or you've gotten through having that chest drain taken out, or you've gotten through, you know, having that IV removed, or whatever it is. And in touching yourself, massaging your own hands or feet, or just actually just stroking your own cheek, it's a case of, you know, you're actually endorsing yourself and the good job that you're doing. And sometimes you need that. You need your own, you know, self-cheering. You need to be able to say that. And, you know, the one great thing, obviously, about having this bulletproof vest on is holding the bulletproof vest and just giving myself, you know, a chest hug and just going, good job, you know. Yes, this was major heart surgery, and, you know, there's no getting away from that, but it doesn't have to be major heart drama. And it's, you know, the drama, you know, the actual getting the, you know, the heart is the best pump in the body, and getting that pump, I can feel the difference within myself, even though I'm only, you know, less than 3 weeks post surgery. I can feel the difference. I can feel that there is more oxygen getting to my brain because I don't have the valvular stenosis, and therefore there's more, you know, the blood is more oxygen rich, and that is going to serve me so much. And, you know, it's going to, you know, I'm not going to be bionic, unfortunately, but because it was actually, it's a tissue valve, not a mechanical valve. So, you know, unfortunately, I'm not going to be bionic, but I that doesn't mean I can't be epic. And, you know, I've got 30 years of life and love and hilarity and wonder to have yet before I'm going to give up the ghost. So I'm really happy and grateful to have had this experience, although it has not been very comfortable. And, you know, when you clear things, and I'm sure people's ears have come up and heard me talking about clearing statements. The clearing statements that I use are four, and it's called zero clearing. And basically you just start off by clearing. The first statement is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And that's, if you repeat those four statements, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And as you use those statements, the vibration of anything that needs to be cleared will be cleared, and it will be zero cleared. And it is one of the most powerful things. It's a, again, it's a Hawaiian technique. And I've forgotten the actual name of it. It's Opopopo something or other. But, hey, I'll get that right for you next week.
Yeah, I think it's a Pono Pono, but I
thank
could
you.
Be wrong.
So my brain is not that finite right now.
I have to share a joke before I'll sort of make my final point I'd like to make. When you said about not being bionic, I thought, next time I see you, I just had this vision of you going, here, mate, look at this. And you having an Iron Man core in your chest now.
That would be cool.
You're there, could you install one of them for me? It was like an upgrade. But very much hearing you talk, one thing that I've been meaning to mention is I think that one thing that I think a lot of people suffer from is, of course, the initial physical trauma from having the operation, and obviously you have the emotional and the mental stuff as well. But I think if people are unprepared for going through it, it's if you're on it in your present, it can be easy, and you can make yourself move and do the things that help your process. But if you're not present and on it, you buy into the delusion and self-pity, and that's the bit that makes the process even harder as well again. So but yeah, thanks for listening, and
great to talk to you guys, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.